Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
How are you, my man?
Well, I'm great. It's Monday. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great. No good. Problems.
Glad to hear it. Did you have a good weekend?
Not bad.
Anything new? Well, actually, I know something new about you.
I did get a TV.
You got a TV.
You're a big TV guy.
Big TV.
So.
Yeah, and you got a big TV.
I got a 75-inch. I could have, once I put it in... I could have gone 85. I could have gone 85.
Always the story.
Yeah,
of course.
You know, I thought I was going to cover more of it, but...
It looks huge up there. It does look huge. The problem is now you bought a 75, by the way, you can't, I don't know what your last one was, 55, whatever. You can't go back to 65.
It was 65, the last one.
Okay, so you can't go back to that.
But it even looks bigger because once that one burned out, then I just brought the one from my bedroom down, which was 55,
okay.
And we've been watching
and
that
for a while.
And it
looks small, the whole time. Yeah, so that's part of the issue when you go to buy a TV is like, oof. Not only am I buying this TV, but this is will lead to the decision about every future TV purchase I make, because if I get a bigger TV, I'll never be able to buy whatever size I'm currently used to. So trust me, I regret it all the time because I had to buy another TV a couple months ago, and I sit there and think, why didn't I just get the bigger one?
Yeah.
Why did? But it's it already looks kind of... I thought that mine looked obnoxious on my wall a little bit, and now, of course, I'm like, it doesn't look obnoxious, and I tell Brooke that I'm like, I kind of have a hard time seeing it from over here. I think maybe we might need to get a bigger one. She's like, shut up.
Right.
So, you could always, I don't think there's anyone who's like, man, I should have gotten smaller, unless it doesn't fit on their TV mount or doesn't fit on the wall. I think otherwise, there's never been a guy who said, I don't need a TV this big. I should have gotten a smaller one.
I mean.
It's always bigger.
I could have gone a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
But then it would have been taller, and it would have been awkward tall.
Right, because right now it's perfectly aligned with your shelf
with the top shelving, but it just got a little bit more room on the sides than I wanted. Well, I did talk to our guy, Kenny, and we were like, I could just put a piece of wood there, paint it, and it'll look like the built-ins were built around it.
You could put a corner mount up there and have it swing down from the ceiling, and then it wouldn't be in front of any of the cabinets.
Yeah, well, I could do it like the hotels in New York and put a hole in the ceiling and just push a button and have that bitch come down and up.
Yeah, what's above the living room? Whose room
the
is
attic.
That? The attic?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, then get it done. What are you waiting on?
I know.
I don't know what's in the basement
that
right
be
below
cool.
you there, if you use it, but...
You have one come up, too?
I was going to say, either have it come up or have it drop down, one or the other.
Yeah.
They sold those TVs for a long time. I think they were Samsungs that... They came like in that box, and then the screen pulled up on its own, so you didn't have to... They were pretty expensive.
Pretty cool.
Having a TV
come out of the ceiling,
eject from the ceiling or floor is next level.
The first time I ever saw one was, I said that, was a hotel in New York. I went, and I was with this girl, and we were laying in bed. It's super small.
Mm.
I mean, this place is so goddamn small, they don't have a TV. I'm like, but they have a remote control, and here I am. I look like a dork from Kansas. I'm like, I'm
so tiny in here. Where's the TV?
How does it work? Mm. Why do they have a controller? And then I hit power and just goes...
That's pretty cool.
I'm like, yeah,
that's pretty awesome.
Who's your daddy? Who is your daddy?
But who does that impress? The problem is, it's not going to impress the ladies. They
I
don't
think
care.
Even she was. When it came out of the ceiling, I think when that TV comes out of the ceiling, everybody's like, oh, that's different.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope so.
I think everybody's a little,
especially if it's at your home. You know, now if you're a rich person, then I guess maybe no one's surprised. But if you're not, like, rich and you have something like that.
Pretty cool.
That's unexpected.
You did not watch the Kingdom documentary on Disney?
No, I had a buddy who dropped by this weekend to drop something off, and he's like, have you watched the Kingdom yet? And I said, no.
I don't understand why you wouldn't. Like, you got a new TV.
I have to figure out how to log in. I need to, but it's on ESPN, right?
I get it through Disney Plus.
Yeah, so I have to. There was something wrong. Last time I tried to log into the ESPN app, so I have to reset the password. It's like one of those things I thought about. I was like, I should watch that. And I was like, oh, I got to reset that. I'll do
that's
that
good.
Later. Is it just like Hard Knocks? But it's like, he said it was about deeper. The three-peat. Like, they're going for the three-peat.
It goes all the way up to the three-peat. So it's, really like, it's six episodes, and I think it's like, I don't know when it starts, when the camera crew got access, but they talk about, winning the first one and then what happened and then losing to Brady. That's in there.
Okay.
And then they go all the way through. But I think it's all filmed in the season leading up to the last Super Bowl.
So it's not.
So they do talk about, like, they even go back to talking about, like, Lamar Hunt when he started
it.
It's like the history of it.
Okay.
All of it. It's like the Chiefs all the way through the beginning. But I think the camera crew was basically like going for the three
for that last season.
Yeah. Because even like they talk about Taylor Swift, but she's not interviewed in it, just pictures.
I am curious about her because I've often wondered what goes on with, somebody having to take care of Taylor Swift, somebody from the Chiefs having to make sure that she gets into the stadium.
Oh, they talked to
okay.
like the VP of marketing or something, some lady. I don't know who it is, but like she said she got a call maybe from Taylor Swift or maybe Travis Kelce, somebody who said, hey, Taylor's going to be at the game, the first one. And she's like, oh, okay. Oh,
that's exactly the stuff I wonder about.
And she hung up her phone and then like walked into the president's office and was like, what do we do? And this is a big deal. And he's like, yeah.
Yeah,
we got to figure this out. Like, I don't know
if they knew how big a deal it was. Like those old guys,
it felt like they knew
behind the scenes. Okay.
They knew.
Okay,
they knew. Like, holy crap, the biggest star in the world is going to be here.
Do they talk? Does Clark Hunt get interviewed for the series yet? Like, have you seen him?
Yeah, he's in it. Yeah, all
okay.
over it.
Okay, okay. Does he talk about Taylor?
There's like one episode that's kind of got her in it a lot, and that's it. And so I think everybody kind of talks about it.
Oh,
like,
all the episodes out.
Yeah, they're all.
Oh,
out.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I think like Clark Hunt. Yeah, I'm sure he talks about it, but there's like one episode where it's like, our Super Bowl era or something.
Okay.
And it's, basically they talk about Travis, how he was a big star, who won the Super Bowl, he went and did Saturday Night Live, like, and he, everybody's talking about how he killed all these, the bits. He was in every one of them. Mm-hmm. Like, he was a star, like a star. And then they're like, and then all of a sudden he started dating her.
Yeah.
And it was like, this is massive now.
Completely next level.
Like, he was the biggest star in Kansas City sports history without her.
Okay.
It was basically what they're saying. And now, what are we going to do?
Right.
Like, it's even bigger.
Right. And he's the non-celebrity with her, which is funny.
Yeah, because they talk about, like, how he killed Saturday Night Live and people loved him. And he was on all these shows and they showed him on Fallon.
He had the reality show before he even really started.
Yeah, like, he was the biggest sports star in Kansas City history.
He was kind of our Gronk.
And then
surpassed him.
Right. And then started dating the biggest celebrity ever.
In the world. Yeah.
One thing I didn't, and people are going to get mad, don't, but I was talking to a buddy of mine who watched it too. He's like, man, I didn't want to watch that last episode because that's the one where they go to play.
That's what my friend was saying.
I didn't remember. I mean, I know I did not remember they were down 34-0.
Oh, you
like,
don't?
Like, I did not. Oh, no, because they showed the final score was like 44-22 or whatever. And I remember thinking, like, I knew they were down and they made a little bit of a comeback, but it was over. But they just kept showing it. I'm like,
they were down
34-0? Like, it was that bad? I didn't remember it.
It was brutal.
I guess maybe I blocked it out a little bit.
Because the loss to Brady was brutal because you kind of knew early on, like, oh, this is not going to work. Something's wrong with the line.
Right.
So they're getting to Mahomes. They've schemed in a way that no one schemed for this team.
Yeah.
That you just knew early on, like, I got a bad feeling. But with the Eagles, it was like insult after insult after insult. Because you kept thinking, like, well, they weren't, like, dominating every team all season anyway.
Right,
they weren't always even the favorite going into the games. A lot of people didn't have them picked to make it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, except for, when they go through that, like, you remember it now. The Lions lost to the Commanders.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the Lions were great.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost to the Commanders. I'm like, of course. It's just the Lions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, they're not that good. But they were good enough to beat the Lions handedly. And then I didn't realize either that the Eagles had beat them, like, put 55 on their ass in the NFC Championship game. So maybe that's something I feel like as Chiefs fans, we're just like, I don't care what you put up. You're not going to beat us in the Super Bowl, so shut it. And maybe we just didn't pay attention to how good they actually were.
And so many people picked the Eagles the first time.
Right.
You know, we're like, okay, and then the Chiefs ended up.
Right, and the way they play that a little bit, just talking about the Eagles, you're like, oh, man, I guess being a Chiefs fan, you're like, who cares? They beat the Commanders. I'm not worried about it.
I didn't follow just them good. That closely. I mean, I don't know about you. I don't follow many teams in the NFC that closely unless I have to, like the Cowboys, because that's all I talk about on TV. But with the Eagles, it felt like after they lost the Super Bowl to the Chiefs, it felt like there was some kind of struggling going on there with that team.
Right.
Some, you know, I would see highlights that looked like they were having a tough time here and there. By the time I realized that they were in the playoffs and that they were, you know, favorites to win some of those games.
Well, if you remember,
I was kind of surprised.
They barely beat the Rams.
Right, right.
So it was like, well, you know, and I know Matt Stafford's good and the Rams are good. They've always been a playoff team. But you're like,
they beat the Chiefs bad.
Right, and they beat the Commanders bad. Like, put 55 on them. You know, it's like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
So that makes me just excited. As I watched it, I was like, man, I'm excited for this year's football season.
Well, it's basically here.
Right, and it feels like it's pretty wide open. Like, you know, the Bills, I think the Bengals will be good. Obviously, the Chiefs will be good, right?
You
got the Ravens. You've got
more Hard Knocks. Anymore?
Yeah.
Okay. I need to watch that too. Maybe I'll watch both today. Is the Kingdom? Are they 1 hour a piece?
I think so. Yeah,
it's like 6 hours, something like that. I can knock that.
It's good, man.
Man, we've known each other.
It
a
makes
long
me
time.
Walk away like I like everybody more.
Well, that's good to hear.
Like I like Mahomes more.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, sometimes he can be annoying. I thought he was great. I thought, you know, I've always liked Brittany Mahomes. She never bothered me. Maybe I even like her more because I feel like people just...
I get defensive, yeah.
Yeah, me too. I'm like, leave her alone. Like, leave Brittany alone. Like, she didn't do anything.
Yeah. But do you remember...
You know, like, the things that she has done have been very minimal over the course
of the
year.
And she was, like, 22 or something.
Leave her alone.
So ridiculous. Do you remember...
But even, like, you know, going out to the Super Bowl, or maybe it was, like, the AFC Championship game or something, but, you know, she, like, you know, you're just like, man, she really likes that guy.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, this is not, you know what I mean? And he really likes her. You like it. Like, you know, it sounded like a dad, or it was just someone who really loves someone. And she, like, pushes on his shoulder pads, and she says, I love you, play hard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, man, that's someone who's like, you know, she's there.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, who wouldn't like her?
No, they're like that high school couple that you know that's always gotten on great.
I mean, yeah, and they talked to his dad about the DUI.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will watch it today.
And they talk about how, you know, I've always wondered how he was a baseball player, you know, a pretty famous baseball player. And then when they got divorced, like, the mom's like, that's when I became a single mom. And Pat had to raise everybody. And I'm like, well, where'd the dad go? Like, he had to make money. Didn't he send any or anything?
Yeah.
They just he kind of like flatly says, like, you know, hey, when you're a star athlete, you get offered a lot of things. Some of them you shouldn't take, and I took most of them.
Now,
and that's basically it.
Was he still playing at that point?
You know, about the DUI, just, you know, that he hasn't had a drink since. It was before the Super Bowl, and he said the most embarrassing thing was that my son had to answer questions about me.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like, I've always had drinks, and, you know, that's just what I've done, and I just haven't done it since. You walk away liking that guy, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, Brittany Mahomes is like, I think, you know, he got the DUI at a bad time, and it opened up his eyes, and he's really become a better father and grandfather. And Pat's like, you know, hey, you know, he didn't realize it, you know.
And
I'm like, okay.
You didn't kill anybody.
Like, everybody just seems fine, you know. Like, you're like, all these people are fairly nice. Like, they've got problems.
Yeah.
They're all pretty nice.
Yeah.
That whole DeAndre Hopkins with his mom getting attacked with the acid.
They talk about that?
Oh, she's in it.
Really?
Yeah, whole thing, man.
All right, well, I'll watch it today.
Yeah.
We've come a long way since 2007 when the Chiefs appeared on
Hard Knocks.
They
talk about those 2-12 seasons a lot, too.
Well, you remember Brady Croyle and the Chiefs and the whole Larry Johnson holdout scandal and all that stuff? We were living in Seattle, and back then, the fact that a Kansas City team, Kansas City anything, was going to be on national anything was such a huge deal that, like, I'm going back to my apartment to watch Hard Knocks the second it airs because it's such a big deal. And now we live in this time where Kelsey's a huge celebrity. Mahomes is a huge celebrity. They've been to these Super Bowls. You know, the Royals have been to two World Series since then. It's just
a
lot has changed.
It really focuses on, there's D-Hop in a lot, but really it's Mahomes, Kelsey, and Chris Jones.
Okay.
And then D-Hop and his mom a little bit. There's, you know, other characters who come through and they talk to. McDuffie's in it quite a bit. But
Did you just binge the whole thing all at once?
No, I watched it like, I think I watched a couple episodes. The first episode Thursday and then Friday. And
so
then,
that was your weekend?
Yeah, and then like one on Saturday and two on Sunday.
How'd you get the TV home?
Did you have it delivered?
Oh, you had it delivered? Okay. So you got to watch The Kingdom on your new TV?
Like three of the episodes.
Part of it. All right, good.
Yeah, because I think it came out Thursday, maybe.
Someone asked me about it Friday, so. Yeah. It seemed like they'd already maybe at least watched
it.
Yeah,
I think it was Thursday, so.
I'll figure out my ESPN login. I'll do that now, actually.
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before. But did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Church of Laszlo. The Church of Laszlo.
98.9 The Rock is the Church of Laszlo. We got a phone number, 913-586-7989. You can text it or call it. I don't care. You can shove it up your ass.
Whoa.
Or you can watch us on twitch.tv/Church of Laszlo. I'm just saying, the options are yours. Do whatever you want with it.
Okay. Did you get the text line to work? Because I'm sure
it
wasn't. Give it a shot. If not, I need to reset something, I think. You were talking about The Kingdom. Yeah. And
no, it's not working.
I forgot. I'm sure you saw the talk online because we talked last week about Taylor Swift being on Kelsey's podcast and revealing the album artwork.
Yeah.
Now they're saying that she was hinting at dropping hints that she's going to be doing the Super Bowl halftime show.
She was.
Would she already know that? Like, is that even a thing that they would have planned? So it's something that could already be
done? I'm sure they have to get that far out in advance, especially if it's someone like her.
Yeah.
You got to work around touring and the album release and what you want to do. And I'm guessing, you know, your record company, even someone as big as her.
Yeah.
Or Kendrick, who did it last year. You know what I mean? Like, they want to make sure that they got something out.
Right.
That people can just, there's going to be 120 million people that see it. Make sure we got something we can sell there, you know.
I'm trying to remember when they normally tell us. But it's certainly not this early.
No, I don't think they tell us, but I guarantee you they're working on it. And they're saying, how much would, you know, do you want to do it? How much would it cost? What do we got?
I mean, it's less than a year away. And you've booked a lot of concerts. The idea of booking a huge artist, a popular artist,
giving them enough runway to do something like the Super Bowl, you know, because they want to have their marketing plan in line, too. So, and they probably got, I'm guessing Jay-Z and his company's probably got three or four people they're talking to.
Well, they said, so it's going to be Super Bowl 60, and it's happening in San Francisco. And the 49ers, you know who their mascot is, Laszlo? The 49ers mascot? Do you know his name?
No.
You know that guy?
He's Sourdough Sam.
Sourdough Sam.
I didn't know his name.
I didn't either. But they said, I had to check. I thought maybe people were joking around that this guy's name was Sourdough Sam. I know what he looks like, but no, that's him. So Taylor said on the podcast something about how she thinks about Sourdough 60% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying that that could be a nod to Sourdough Sam,
what?
Super Bowl 60. Right, I know. So,
why, because he's picking the 49ers? That would be really weird to do on that podcast.
Well,
you know who I really like is Sourdough Sam
because
and the 49ers.
That's where the game's going to be played. They're playing it, Candlestick.
I don't think she's been.
I wouldn't think. She's
I don't think she's making
hints,
reference to the San Francisco 49ers mascot.
I wouldn't think.
I think she's saying I'm a pretty normal person. I bake bread just like everybody else your age,
right? So
who bought a bread maker during COVID? That's just you.
Yep.
That's
what you
do.
Else. Let's see. Oh, and at the beginning it says Taylor thanks Jason for quote screaming for like 47 seconds end quote. So it says, well, Taylor's 47th stop of her Eras tour was none other than Levi's Stadium.
Okay.
Talk about, I mean, this
you
is like.
You got to read a little too much into it.
That's a lot. You know what? Actually, I could have gone with the sourdough thing. Like,
no.
I see how maybe someone picked up on that.
You think Taylor Swift just dropping a hint that she's going to play the Super Bowl by mentioning the 49ers mascot?
I'm not shocked with her level of celebrity that somebody thought, is she dropping hints?
No. You know,
with all of her Easter eggs that she supposedly does, is she dropping hints about, you know, playing the Super Bowl halftime show? But when you start talking about the 47 seconds you know, screaming for 47 seconds and the 47th top stop on the Eras tour, then I don't think so. But it would be a big get for them, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it doesn't get much bigger.
No.
So, you know, I don't never really understood.
I mean, they've
got to
want to do it. They know. I mean, they go into in that Kingdom documentary about the amount of young women who started watching football.
And that's what they told us.
Because
so
of Taylor Swift. Like, I didn't necessarily believe that.
Right, I thought it was exaggerated maybe a bit.
Me too, but no. I mean, the numbers that they show are like, no. I mean, once it happened, like, young girls started watching. They just showed, you know, I think Pat Mahomes was like, I think it's great. Young girls get to spend time with their dads watching
football. Yeah, they
ran commercials and everything. Like, okay, like, all right. I mean.
Showing dads connecting with their daughters.
I just can't. I guess I'm a guy, so, you know what I mean? Like, if I was growing up and they were like, you know, I don't know. You know, the Clash is playing, you know, right. an ice skating, figure skating thing. Yeah. And, you know, he's dating her and he's going to, I wouldn't be like, well, God damn it, I got to watch figure skating.
Yeah.
I want to see what I mean? Dorothy Hamill's my girl. Like, I just wouldn't.
I know.
I wouldn't even cross the two.
You know, for them to be curious about who Travis is and to want to see pictures of him and to even gush over him.
But to watch a game?
But then to actually watch the games. I told you I saw that car at the parking lot at Arrowhead, and it was covered in Taylor Swift stuff. I mean, it was just Taylor Swift stickers all over the car, bumper stickers. And I thought, wow, this person is here because they're a Swift fan. Like, so, you know, I guess I shouldn't be totally shocked. We know that it exists to a certain extent.
The numbers are pretty big, though.
But I always wonder
how much. If you watch that show, I don't remember what they were, but they were like, you're looking at it and like, you know, they're not lying about it.
Well, people got so mad when they would show Taylor Swift during the games.
Yeah.
You know, they cut to her four times or whatever. I'm so sick of it. And it's like, guys, it is a business.
Well, but it's also kind of like a perfect storm in that sense that the Chiefs officially become the villains.
Yep.
They, you know, you win everything, pricks, Kelsey's everywhere,
every
and Mahomes is always so good.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's, you know, you've become the Patriots.
Yes.
And now you have this, while wildly famous and people like her, still polarizing to some degree. Now she's up there and she's a Chiefs fan? Like,
right.
Right?
Yeah,
like,
of course,
you know, like, people are going to, you know, just gives you one more reason to hate them.
Yep. I mean, she's covered in Chiefs gear. She's bringing other celebrities up to the box with her. And the announcers on TV couldn't stop.
Why would they?
Talking about her, but exactly, why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
You know?
I just think
it's perfect.
You know, the villain, you know.
Perfect. I mean, you couldn't write it any better.
Mm-mm.
Unless, you know, you maybe had a pop star that people disliked a little more. But I think anybody that's that popular is polarizing to some extent.
Of course. So you couldn't have had it any better.
You can't get that famous and not be polarizing, I don't think. Even if most people think seems nice. Still, at that level of celebrity.
Whenever you get that famous, there's going to be a group of people who hate you.
Just hate you. And
there's a group of people who hate me, and I'm not even famous. Like, they just post about how much they hate me.
Yeah.
Imagine if you were famous as her.
Right.
There's 40 people in the city who won't shut the F up on Facebook. Imagine if you were Taylor Swift. The amount of hate mail that comes in has to be, like, you just can't count it.
Nonstop. I see people still to this day. It shocks me the things that people, you know, like on Reddit, these subreddits that are supposed to be for fans of certain things, for a band or whatever. And they just talk all this trash on these people for not being who they want them to be. Not for doing anything bad. The thing that gets me is when they get mad at celebrities for defending themselves on social media. It's like, so wait, he called this guy an asset and said his new band sucks. And he said, hey, you know what? F you. And you're like, oh, God, you know, he's just gone downhill. And he's so petty. It's like, petty? Someone just told him he sucked and that he's talentless and he stood up for himself. He's not allowed to do that.
People are shocked when you do it.
They are totally shocked.
Like, if I go on Facebook and just go, F you, Dave.
Yeah.
They're like, how dare you?
You're supposed
to. That's why you suck. You're supposed to be above us. Like, above it. What?
You're supposed to take it.
A giant douche.
Take
just like you.
Right.
Whatever.
Up next, we break into song. The Church of Laszlo.
I'm reading this story. Did you see this? Anyways, it's the Church of Laszlo, 98.9 The Rock. I'm Laszlo. That's Slim Fast. Slim Fast, did you see the story? Park Hill School District officials. Looks like a Park Hill PE teacher accused of assault, making sexual comments to students.
No.
A Kansas City physical education teacher that coached middle school basketball and high school football is charged with assault after allegedly making sexual advances to middle school girls, court records show. I don't know how he made them to middle school girls if he was in high school. That was the one thing that kind of...
How what?
It says, Park Hill PE teacher accused a Kansas City area physical education... I guess he was at the middle school.
Yeah.
But it says he coached middle school basketball, then high school football.
Oh.
You see what I'm saying? Okay. So I just like, yeah, usually it's like, you know, I've never heard of the middle school... PE teacher
coming
coaching
over.
High school football, but maybe that just happened in Park Hill. That's why I was a little like, well, which one was he? But apparently he made...
Maybe that's how they get around. Like, you know, the coaches, at least back in my day, they had to teach something.
Nah.
So our coach taught, I think, a class a day of personal finance or something. And, you know, it was the rarest
thing
that somebody had.
Our head coach had to coach something.
That's
Nobody
what I mean, the head
to.
Coach. Yeah,
and he just coached weightlifting for football
that,
players.
That, to me, makes sense. I'm like, why is he doing personal finance? Can't he just go back there and do PE, which it sounds like maybe is what's happening here. And maybe this guy's not the head football coach. I don't know. But
all seven victims experienced crude, sexually suggestive comments from Washington. According to court documents, student allegedly said Washington would ask them for hugs, and then he would be visually aroused after touching them.
So
he said, like, give me a hug and then have a boner?
I guess. And you're wearing sweatpants or joggers or something?
Yeah.
I
mean, school district officials placed Washington on leave once they became aware of the allegations. So they
I mean, that's bad.
Yeah.
That's bad.
I mean, you can't do that.
No, you can't do that. But when you start to say... He made comments that offended people. Of course, my immediate thought is, I wonder what those comments were.
One student told Detective Washington concerned behavior persisted throughout her time during middle school from 2023 to 2025. She told detectives that Washington asked for hugs from her many times, and she said, I just kind of didn't know what to do. I felt like I was trapped, and so I hugged him. The student pointed to the waist on a drawing of a woman to show where Washington would touch her when they hugged. She later told detectives he never touched me in an inappropriate way, but he would always, like, find a way to touch me. The student also told detectives that she could visibly see that he was aroused after their hugs, according to court documents.
That is crazy.
Right. The student told detectives that after she finished running in gym class, he said, put my number in your phone. And then he said, I'm just playing. It was locked anyway. So he was saying, I put my number in your phone. Yeah. She left her phone there.
Yeah, you can't do that.
No.
But when you say PE coach, I also immediately think, did he say something? Because the PE coaches at least would talk like coaches. At least a lot of them would. A lot of cussing, a lot of calling people names. But they seem to only do it to the guys. And so I immediately wonder, like, oh, did they
coach
do this?
Talk to girls.
That's what I wondered.
I mean, he was a 70-year-old man who was in the Michigan High School Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. I don't remember him. Like, he didn't have female. Gym class.
Yeah, I don't remember
having
girls.
He had like
girls
five gym classes, and he just had football players in each class.
Yeah.
And that was it. I don't think he talked to anybody else. I can't remember him.
I guess
he never left that little corner back by his football office.
Yeah. Well, I guess in junior high, it is co-ed. I do remember doing PE with the girls, but I think in high school, and I took PE class every semester in high school, and some form of it, you know, lifetime activities, personal sports, weightlifting, whatever. And, I don't think there were ever girls sharing, like, courts with us or any of that.
There were other PE coaches who did, teachers, men and women, who did co-ed PE.
Mm-hmm.
But if you played football, you got the football guy.
Oh, okay.
And you only had him.
Okay.
So, like, you know, that they made a schedule for you.
Gotcha.
And so you had weightlifting with the football coach if you played football. That was it. But didn't get to take, like, the other classes.
But in junior high, it was probably different, right? Because that's how, at my school, we had the female coach for the girls and the male coach for the guys, and we had different locker rooms. But then we came out and did.
Here's some of the stuff he said, I guess. According to court documents, students said Washington made the following comments. That outfit makes your body look really good.
That was nice of him.
I would if I could, but that would be illegal. I mean...
No, that's bad.
It's bad, but, you
junior
know,
high.
I mean, he's prefacing it.
That's bad.
At least telling her, you know, it's illegal. If I could take you home, I would, but I can't.
This reminds me a little bit of some of those accusations that Texas teacher that ended up in Arkansas accused of stabbing people.
You guys look really pretty today, especially in those leggings.
Yeah, no.
This one was weird. He said, oh, girl, you look good and tight.
What?
I don't know what that means. I mean, I know what it means, but I don't know what it means in that.
And it's middle school, right?
Middle school, yeah.
So they're 12, 13, 14 at the oldest.
I guess, because it's saying, like, these people who are, I guess the students who are telling on him, at least the one said that she finished middle school in 2025, so she has to be in high school somewhere.
Yeah, that's... Look, you can't do it in high school either, obviously. I shouldn't have to say that. Can't talk to students like that.
No,
but it's especially disturbing that it's junior high, because I think of junior high kids as being really young.
Yeah.
12, 13 years old.
Yeah,
you're like just
young.
Getting ready to start puberty. That's...
Well,
totally,
no, you
know,
not really.
Going into seventh grade...
My youngest is just turning into ninth grade, and...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know for a fact, but I'm guessing most of the guys and girls in the eighth grade were.
Well, by eighth grade, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, I feel like I went into seventh grade with no pubes, came out.
Yeah, and probably in the seventh grade, half of them do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just kind of like trying, I've had two boys that just went through there, so.
Yeah.
I think girls faster than guys sometimes,
girls start first, they say.
Yeah, but I think
whatever.
My boys were pretty early anyway, but.
He can't talk like that, and he can't do it in person.
Oh, you can't do it even to high school girls.
Right. And did you intentionally want your arousal to show? Because otherwise, I mean, that's the thing that's easy to hide, generally speaking.
I don't know why. If you're like, I mean, you obviously did. If you did it once, you're like, oh, come here. Give me a hug. You did great today. And then you're like, damn, I got a boner. Like, you don't do it again.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you're like, hey, I didn't mean to do that. That's weird. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Involuntary erection. Let me make sure I don't grab anyone's waist anymore.
Right.
Like, I mean, you keep doing it, then you know what you're doing.
And
then you're showing it to them.
Yeah. Yeah, you should get in trouble, for sure.
Oh, yeah, you should.
I don't know what kind of trouble. I shouldn't be a teacher anymore.
No, yeah,
I don't know what kind of trouble that looks like.
When
you're
just
talking to kids and saying inappropriate things?
And the fact that he kind of, you know, like, you know, he shrouded it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what I mean? If those are the quotes that he gave, I'm like, hey, I'd take you home if I could, but that'd be illegal, so I won't. Like, it's like, we know what you're doing there, but also you feel like a lawyer could probably parse that out and be like, he said he wouldn't.
I wouldn't be shocked if he gets a job teaching in another state.
But I also said he
didn't
have a lawyer.
Well.
I said there was no lawyer on record for him, so.
But does it say what they're going to charge him with?
I guess we'll find out. Somewhere in there.
Okay. Well, it'd be interesting. It's interesting because I looked up, I was trying to find the story, and I just typed in Park Hill teacher assault. And then the first thing I saw was actually a story from last year about a Park Hill High School teacher who apparently was accused of trying to entice a student into a sexual act. So, looks like they've had bad headlines year after year.
Let's see. Probable cause statement that believes Washington is a danger to the community. Washington exploited his position of authority and trust as an educator to harass students and cause many students to suffer emotional distress as a direct result of his actions against him, as the detective
fair,
said.
Fair.
Warrant on Thursday. Washington's arrest and issued a $7,500 cash bond.
Okay, so
there you go.
He's definitely being
charged.
He's
being arrested. He's charged. It said something that was in there, but I don't remember.
Okay.
What it was.
Well, you want to do the news coming up here in just a little bit?
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo. The doom scroll begins now.
Yo! Hit me with that news and information, you big lanky stud.
Yeah, well, you know, what was it, Friday there? They had the meeting with Putin in Alaska.
Oh, yeah.
And we don't know really what happened.
Okay, good.
Lots of speculation, but Trump's been fairly tight-lipped about it. He didn't get a ceasefire. We know that that was something he was aiming for before the meeting.
Sure.
Didn't get a ceasefire, but the weekend was full of, you know, these political types and news types giving all sorts of theories about what actually went on behind closed doors. But today, Zelensky is coming to town. Zelensky's coming to town this time.
We are deciding what we are going to discuss.
Will he wear a tie?
I don't know.
Hoping
better,
for a different outcome
than his last visit to the Oval Office in February.
Yeah. Have you said thank you once this entire meeting?
Cards.
No, in this entire meeting, have you said thank you?
You don't have the cards.
After Trump's stately fanfare and sit-down with Putin Friday, his negotiators largely tight-lipped about the details.
Can you name one thing that President Trump is asking Russia to give up in order to get peace?
Well, I'm not going to disclose those things.
Secretary Rubio also pushing back on suggestions that the White House will try to pressure Zelensky to cede some land.
No one's pushing Ukraine to give that up.
But shortly after that interview, Trump contradicting that, reposting on Truth Social one user's statement, Ukraine must be willing to lose some territory to Russia. Otherwise, the longer the war goes on, they will keep losing even more land.
Okay, so, you know, what are they going to talk about today? I saw there's a CNN or somebody has a preview of what they expect him to discuss. It will be that he has to give up Crimea, Zelensky has to give up Crimea, and agree to never join NATO. They're claiming that that's what Trump is going to ask him, so I don't know if that's true or not. I'm sure you've been following the story.
I could care less.
I'm sure you've been, come on. A country's been attacked.
Not my country.
War's been going on for a long time.
I don't even know where it is.
Well,
couldn't even point it out on a map, son.
Well, it's...
I could point Russia
somewhere
out
near
big.
Russia. Yeah. And
but everything else.
Somewhere, I'm guessing, on the side between Russia and Europe there. So I wonder if at this point how many people could point it out on a map. More
Nobody.
Than a couple years ago, but still probably about 95% not going to be able to do that, I would guess.
With no names? Just a map of the world with no names.
Could they
point outlines. Out that? Not,
yeah.
No one.
Could 5% of Americans point out where Ukraine is? But before the war, I would say it's definitely less than 1% who could do that. There was a shooting over the weekend in Brooklyn. I don't know. Did you see anything about that? Were you worried about, do you have any friends in Brooklyn? Do we know anyone in
I do have friends in Brooklyn.
New York? Oh, really? Yeah. I saw the news and I was like, I guess I don't know.
A lot of friends in Brooklyn.
Oh. Well, you've got a lot of friends. I don't, I've known people who've lived in New York, but I don't know where they are these days.
Okay.
I feel like I used to maybe have a friend up there, but I don't know, you just lose touch. It happens.
What happened in Brooklyn? Not what happened to your friends. I could care less.
Gotcha. There was a shooting at a club.
I don't care.
Shooting at a club, and
I'm guessing you didn't have any friends. You're just making it all up.
Few people. Don't make me chuckle when I'm trying to tell the story. This is about a mass shooting. Few people died, several more injured. They think it's gang related.
Investigators say they are still searching for up to four possible shooters who left three people dead and nine injured at this Brooklyn lounge called Taste of the City. Authorities say they've recovered over 40 bullet casings. According to officials, this could be gang-related.
When you have a shooting of this magnitude, it shakes you. And we're going to continue to do our job, and we're asking the residents to assist in any information that they have.
So there you go. Gang-related, I think there's multiple shooters, and last I checked, it says here they're still looking for the suspects. Now, here's a crazy story for you.
Okay.
A judge... All I saw was this video originally posted, and it said, judge misreads verdict. Have you seen this pop up? Because it's been making the rounds online, but there wasn't a lot of details, at least in the videos I kept seeing. It just said, Fulton County judge misreads verdict, which it helps if you have some context. I had to look this story up to figure out what this defendant was on trial for, what he was facing. I mean, it was serious. It was murder charge for killing a cop who was off duty. Now, this happened in the Atlanta area, and the defendant claims that he was walking home from work one night around 4:30 in the morning, and this off-duty officer in plain clothes in a civilian car pulls up next to him, and he claims he started harassing him. He came back again and tried soliciting him for sex, and then came. There's two
cop?
Or three times. Yeah, now he's off-duty. No, this guy didn't know that he was a cop, supposedly, but... that this guy isn't off duty, wasn't off duty officer. So the last time he came up to allegedly approach this guy, Oliver pulls a gun and shoots at him. He says the car sped up. He was worried about his own safety. He thought this guy was going to try and run him over or kill him. And so it was a self-defense thing. Now, the problem is when he first was interviewed by the police, he didn't say anything about the sexual solicitation stuff that this guy was asking. But the defendant said, look, I was just waiting for my lawyer. I wanted to talk to a lawyer first. So he was facing a murder charge amongst other charges. And this judge is handed the verdict, as they often are, by the jury. And he goes to read the verdict. And he gets it wrong. He reads it wrong. This is like the Oscars.
Yeah,
when they said Moonlight,
La
La Land. I don't remember which was which. But just imagine you're the defendant.
The jury has been dated and signed. Is that correct? Fulton. The verdict, we the jury find the defendant guilty as to all six counts of the bill of indictment. Sheriff, will you please hand this to State's counsel and pass it over to...
Wait, what?
Did I say not?
No.
Sorry. we, the jury, find the defendant not guilty.
Oh, my God. Well, you know what? That's just better than the other way.
Absolutely. The other way is like winning a lottery ticket and they say it's a misprint, you know? And you go, no. It says that I won $1 million. You have to give me $1 million. If they say not guilty at that point, and then, sorry. Did I say not? This is better. You're right.
It's much better.
But still, those seconds. I am just shocked, though, that this guy, the jurors, they did say that they were back there deliberating for like 9 hours. But none of the jurors were willing to do interviews. I was curious about the case. People are just sharing the video because isn't it crazy the judge misread that? Can you imagine? I'm like, how did this guy, he was acquitted of shooting an off-duty officer and his story supposedly changed. I mean, it's not every day that somebody shoots and kills a cop.
And is acquitted, right?
That, well, I looked into that. Like, did they have witnesses that said this cop had a history of being weird, soliciting people? They claim no. None of that evidence was ever presented. So I am very curious what exactly the defense consisted of, but it was enough to get him acquitted. So, God, those few moments, you have to look back and say, although it made the not guilty, as if
so
the not guilty
better.
Wasn't already going to be the sweetest words he'd ever heard, it made it even better. You're positive for about 8 seconds that you're going to prison. He tells the bailiff, hey, bailiff, go cuff him and take him
away. Yes, that's why he said, wait,
like,
did I not say not?
Like,
it's like, no, you didn't, because you said the bailiff.
You said
but he may have been saying, like, in his head, because sometimes even if you're not guilty, they tell you the bailiff to take you, you got to go back, and you got to get processed. So
that makes sense.
You don't just get to, like, if they say not guilty, you don't just get to, like, sweet.
Yeah,
and walk out. You still got to go get processed or whatever.
Okay, that makes sense. I thought the exact same thing.
I did too.
I thought, well, you didn't misspeak because
But it could have been like, you know, remand them to whatever.
Yeah, sometimes when they are acquitted, I see they just take the cuffs off or whatever, and they just get to leave the courtroom. But it feels like most of the time you have to go back to jail and
get your stuff back and you know.
Yeah.
Did you sign the paperwork that says you're leaving? I mean, yeah, you got to go do something.
Did you see the video of the Southwest Airlines
pilot?
Unless
I guess maybe if you're out on bail, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe those are the people who are just leaving. Did you see the video making the rounds of the Southwest Airlines pilot being administered a DUI test?
No.
Yes. It was like the video. Another example of this video was going around, but there was no date on it. I couldn't find any details about it originally, and then the news finally picked up on it and started to give out some information. And, you know, look, I shouldn't be shocked that pilots drink. I always think way back to the Man Show when they did that bit where they had the guys dress up like pilots at the airport and have them drinking beers at the bar, trying to scare passengers and seeing whether or not passengers would tell on them. But I wonder, you know, how often do pilots have a drink before they get in there? There's that Denzel Washington movie, right? You know, I mean,
well, that movie is just, I mean, it's a great movie, but it is just depressing.
Because you felt like he was perfectly able to fly that plane in that moment?
Yeah, I mean, he was, and he was a good pilot, and, you know, but he had a problem, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, but he wasn't a bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, they did a good job of showing, like, you know, what alcoholism can do to a pretty good guy. Like, that was bad.
Yeah.
Like, you just watch it, and you're like, the whole thing sucks.
Yep. Flight? Was that the name of that movie, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
I think so. The whole point was that before horrible accident happens, with Denzel being the pilot, he'd taken a shot of vodka, like, one of those little shot bottles.
Like a bunch of them.
Maybe it was a couple of them, like dunk, dunk, and then threw them in the trash.
Yeah.
Of course, said he didn't drink, but they count the bottles in the trash afterwards. In this incident, the guy fails the, I guess you call it, jetway side sobriety test instead of roadside sobriety test. Looked like they were behind the scenes there by the jetway. He fails that, and so then the cop, you'll hear him say, like, well, you know, we got to figure out what your BAC is, and it sounds like he's refusing.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
At around 6 a.m., TSA reported that there was a noticeable smell of alcohol coming off of Alsop. Officers agreed. When asked how many drinks he had the night before, he answered,
how many drinks did you have?
Had a few beers, sir.
Define a few beers.
Two beers.
And when asked about the smell, he blamed it on nicotine pouches.
These.
Who's that?
Ropes.
What did you do, field sobriety?
Sir.
Officer Bess stated that based on what he saw, he would need to conduct a blood test.
The issue is, would you agree to a blood draw to test your blood alcohol content?
No.
Okay, well, the issue is you exhibited the symptoms, and if you're refusing to a blood draw, that's DUI less safe for the willful intent.
For the plane?
Right. Seriously? You follow the same. Is that like the same rules that we have as drivers?
It's going to be different.
I was kind of surprised even that it's like a cop and not maybe a I don't know. Someone who's FAA, exactly. I don't know. Somebody in charge of overseeing them, but or
the
someone
cops just walking around the airport, being like, "Hey, you smell like booze," and making pilots. I've never heard of it before, but
yeah, they pulled him out of the cockpit because somebody said that he smelled like alcohol. And I sounds to me like they're saying that if you refuse. It's also blood drawn. Why wouldn't I just blow into a breathalyzer? You need to take my blood? What year is this? I'm not passed out in the hospital, right? Like, I've heard of that happening before, but anyway, he turned it down. Question to you, Laszlo. If you do get pulled over by the police and they make you do a roadside sobriety test, even if you pass the roadside sobriety test, they're probably going to ask you for a breathalyzer afterwards. I've heard that they're really just trying to get that alcohol level as high as they can in your system during that roadside sobriety. Do you refuse and give up your license for, isn't it a year?
That's your lawyer. I think most lawyers would say, you know, don't do anything.
Just don't talk?
Don't talk.
Don't do anything. And that includes the roadside sobriety test.
Lawyers have said in the past, like, don't do anything.
Lawyers are so big on don't talk at all. They'll do those instructional videos.
Don't do the breathalyzer. Don't do anything.
I just imagine if I don't respond to that cop when I roll the window and he walks up to my car, that if I'm just totally silent, it's going to end with me getting pulled out of that car and, like, thrown on the ground hard. You know what I mean? I don't know, but I know they say don't. Don't talk.
Yeah, don't.
Okay, try not to talk, but you're also hoping that maybe this guy will be reasonable. They're not reasonable. If they're pulling you over to see if they can get a DUI, especially depending on the time of night it is.
Of course.
They've got the whole thing planned. Doesn't matter if you say...
One time I was driving with a buddy of mine, and we had both been sober for like 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And a cop pulled us over. We were coming back from a bar, but we didn't have anything to drink. The cop came to the door and he's like, "Hey, you swerved over the line a little bit." And my buddy's like, "Okay, like maybe he did." You know what I mean? He's like, "Okay, yeah, sorry about that." And he's like, "Hey, I smell booze in the car." And my buddy's like, "No, you don't."
Right.
And he's like, "No, I get a hint of booze. You guys been drinking?" My buddy's like, "You don't smell booze." And the guy's like, "Well, I think I do." And my buddy's like, "Look, man, we've both been sober for like 15 years. This is a new car. There's never been booze. Like, there's literally never been any booze in this car." And the guy's like, "Well, will you blow into a breathalyzer for me?"
And?
My buddy was just like, "You know what? He literally said, whatever, man," and blew in it. Because he knew it was 0-0.
Yeah.
He blew in it. The guy's like, "Oh, sorry. I thought I smelled some." And my buddy's like, "No, you didn't."
It still makes you angry.
And just drove away.
And that's what they can do that if they smell something.
Sure.
And it's like, who says... They smell something. How can you prove or disprove that there was a smell?
Especially if 90% of the time you got some booze on you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, honest, like at that time, the people that they probably pulled over, right?
Late at night.
Late at night, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Somebody in that car at least probably had a drink.
A pretty good shot that somebody had a drink.
Yeah.
Like it or not, more Church of Laszlo is on the way.
Yo! Hit me with that news and information.
Laszlo, remember that movie, A Quiet Place or whatever, with the monsters that you have to be quiet? And, you didn't like that.
No.
And you said, I remember, you said, at least after the first movie, which I assume is the only one you saw, that you didn't understand why they didn't just hide behind the waterfall more.
Well, they go to the waterfall and then they talk.
Yeah.
And they're like, "Oh, the monsters can't hear us in the waterfall." I'm like, then why do you live 20 miles from the waterfall? Like, you have nothing else to do. Move to the waterfall.
Well, they had to get food and stuff, right? I mean,
in a house that didn't have anything, move to the waterfall.
And then
if you make noise, run underneath the waterfall.
Yeah.
Why are we walking 20 miles to get to the safe spot? It's not like somebody else has it. There's no one else alive.
Right.
Move to the waterfall.
Well, Long Beach, man.
Moved to a waterfall?
Pretty much.
Good for him.
Unintentionally, he was out hiking, and he's like doing serious. You know, people here say hike usually means I'm going to the park, I'm going to walk the trail for 15, 20 minutes. This guy had like rappelling gear and all that stuff. He's like, sounds like a real outdoors person, Ryan Wardell. And this place is called Seven Teacups, so I imagine that means there's probably some water there. But he's rappelling. Something happens with his gear, and he ends up getting trapped behind a waterfall. Now, when he went there, he drove to the park, parks his car in the parking lot there, and then the car doesn't leave because he was trapped and didn't leave that night. So family and friends report him missing. The sheriff's office says, all right, we'll search this area. They've got heat-seeking cameras and all that. Apparently, they found his precise location, but decided, you know what, it's nighttime, and because of some other things, let's wait until morning, and we'll go get him in the morning.
Okay.
So, and I don't know anything about search and rescue, maybe that's normal, but so that's what they did. They waited till morning, they went and got him. He ended up spending 2 days behind this waterfall, which they say is miraculous that he was able to survive behind this waterfall because it gets very cold, and I immediately thought of you in that movie.
He didn't have a wetsuit, he didn't have a dry suit, so being stranded in a waterfall for 3 days up in the mountains where our evening temperatures get low, our water temperatures are always low, his ability to survive was rather amazing.
So, you know, you already kind of explained. At the time, I thought that after you saw that movie, I thought that you wanted them to, like, you know, live in the water behind the waterfall or hang out there. You just wanted them to be closer to it so they could get to it.
Move it so that if somebody makes noise or steps on a nail or whatever happens in that stupid movie,
yeah,
they could just run to the waterfall.
Yeah, yeah. So you never saw the sequels?
I think I did.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What was there? Three? They did like a prequel. I think I watched
that.
It was okay. A Ford worker, a retired Ford worker, says he remembers Christmas 2014 like it was yesterday.
Okay.
Why? Because at the time he was still working for Ford, and he lost his wallet somewhere at the assembly plant. Could not find the wallet, and he eventually said he just had to realize, I'm not getting this wallet back. No one can find it. No one's seen it. I'm going to have to go get a new ID, get all this stuff, right? It's a huge pain in the ass if you ever lost your wallet or purse. So the last thing he was expecting is that 11 years later, someone would contact him and say, hey, I think I found your wallet. Turns out a mechanic from another state was working on this car and found the wallet shoved underneath the hood somewhere in between the frame and some part of the motor, and pulled this wallet out and thought, oh, I wonder who lost this. Not thinking like, oh, the person who built the actual car in the assembly line.
So my guess, it was sitting up in here somewhere, just sitting there for the right move, that little hole right here. That's where the wallet was sitting on top of that hole.
Is this your wallet? First thing I said was, did you find that in a car? He's like, yes, I did. I would have never figured in a million years that it would still be there.
As someone from Michigan, mm-hmm. from Detroit specifically, mm-hmm. how impossible is it to not know multiple people who work for the big three in some way?
Oh,
even if it's
engineers. Everybody, yeah.
It's everybody?
Yeah.
In some way, shape, or
some
form.
Way, engineer, I mean, even if it's engineers, or even if it's not on the line.
Right.
Engineers, accountants.
Even if
marketing.
They're tool and die shops at another place that's still providing.
Of course, they're making parts for them.
It's
sure.
All connected. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, okay, you've got cops. Your uncle was a cop.
Yeah.
And you've got the servers. Of course, the servers, a lot of times serving.
Sure, restaurants
plant
open.
Workers,
right.
Right. And so, I mean, I know that it's the home of the big three. I just wondered if it's, and it, you know, they talk about how it's changed a lot over the years. And when you were growing up, it wasn't like they advertised it being in the 50s, you know, things had already changed quite a bit. But I still just imagine that 90%.
I mean, a lot of people, if you're out, somebody works for them.
Okay.
Somebody works for them.
Are you a fan of Denzel's?
Love him.
Every movie there
ever was.
Are there people who don't like him? Like, there has to be somebody who doesn't like him, I guess.
I don't know. You and your buddy say you didn't like Training Day. So
I didn't love that movie as much as some of his other
stuff.
I didn't love that movie.
So stupid.
But I do love Denzel. And they asked him a question. He was doing an interview for Complex News. He was with Spike Lee. I don't know what they're promoting. But they were talking to Denzel about getting canceled. And like, you know, do you think you could ever get canceled? And his response has now made headlines because it's about the most Denzel thing you could imagine.
Being quote-unquote canceled.
What does that mean?
It means you lose public support.
Who cares? What made public support so important to begin with? I don't care who's following. You can't lead and follow at the same time, and you can't follow and lead at the same time. I don't follow anybody. Forget being followed. You can't be canceled if you haven't signed up. Don't sign up.
I love it.
Dude, he's got to be like the coolest of our generation, right? Like living actors.
Mm-hmm.
You hear about those people who were cool, and maybe they were, you know, alive for a little while when I was a kid. But
he just basically said, you get cancer because I'm not letting you.
I don't care. I don't follow anybody. You follow me. It's amazing. The takeover in D.C. of the police with, I guess they took over the police, and then Trump also sent in National Guard troops. That's still going on, and he's supposed to be sending in more troops now. I saw something this morning that said maybe hundreds more. more are supposed to arrive soon.
350 more citizen soldiers expected to arrive from West Virginia in the coming days, bringing the number of National Guard members to 1,126. Two other Republican-led states, Ohio and South Carolina, also offering to send troops. And this weekend, hundreds taking to the streets to protest.
You know, I mean, that's kind of where we were last week, right?
Yeah, right.
Mayor not happy about it. That's not a surprise. People who don't like Trump, obviously, not happy about it. Not a surprise. Trump, we had that quote from him talking about, you know, the public, these people are allowed to spit on these police officers.
Right.
And the officers don't do anything. We said, well, that doesn't seem right. But, you know, if it were happening here, is it one of those deals where I'm like, yeah, I mean, it's happening. There's a lot of stuff going on. I ain't met with Putin, whatever.
Well, right.
If it was in National Guard.
It was in Kansas City?
Yeah. If they were like.
Yeah, it'd be more important.
It would certainly be talking
about.
Well,
I don't know if it'd be more important. It'd be more important to us.
But what, and like, what would it feel like? Would it be scary to see National Guard, these armored vehicles, just sitting on the side of the road? It seems a little dystopian, does it not?
Yeah, I agree.
The last time I saw a bunch of troops like that was the first round of vaccines, because I went and got vaccinated with that Johnson & Johnson during COVID, and you went to Arrowhead, and they had, it was, I assume it was National Guard everywhere, and that really did feel like you were in a movie, like a 90s movie, like Outbreak or something. All those National Guard troops and everyone, and I think the person who gave us the injection was in fatigues, I'm pretty sure. I don't know when you got your first one. You didn't go to
No, I didn't. I went to like a doctor's office down here. Someone who listened and said, show up and I'll give it to you.
Oh, that's right.
And people came out in full hazmat things.
Yeah.
And said, roll down your window. And I rolled down my window and they gave me the shot. And they left in the full hazmat thing. I was like, man, that is crazy scary.
About that. They did the hazmat thing when I got tested. I got COVID a few times. And the first couple times, I remember going to the test site where Brooke had gone. She always went to the same place as her. And they come out in the full hazmat, stick that Q-tip up your nose and do the whole thing. Pretty crazy, man. I mean, we always say that for you and I, it changed our lives probably the least amount.
But we still came to work every day.
Because we came to the same building, did the same job, even though nobody else was here.
Right.
And the lights were off. Most people were working from home. We still came to work and did all that. But it was still an absolutely crazy time, especially in those early days of the lockdown when nobody was on the road. You wanted to go somewhere. You couldn't go anywhere. And I wonder, like, what would happen today? If there were a pandemic today and they said, oh, there's a virus that's made its way over here from somewhere, I just can't imagine people. You know, in the beginning, they sort of kind of listened and like,
If it happens again, it's not happening.
There's like nothing.
I promise you.
If they say wear a mask, it'll kill you. It's Ebola. They're like, no, I'm not. I'm just not. There's not going to be a lot of mask wearing. And I don't even think most of the businesses would comply with some sort of a, you know, you got to shut down order. We know that Trump, when he got elected, talked about being big into crypto. The crypto bros supported Trump. And there's been a lot of talk. He's got his own cryptocurrency, right? I don't remember. Is it, what's the name of his crypto?
Trump
coin?
Maybe,
does that sound right?
I think so.
I think that's what it's called, is Trump coin. Anyhow, we knew that there would be some changes. Well, he signed this executive order that says that you should be allowed to invest in crypto and a few other things in your 401k if you want. Not that your 401k will automatically invest you in crypto, but that if you want crypto to be part of your portfolio, you should be allowed. That and private equities and a couple
of things. You could soon be able to invest your 401k retirement savings into cryptocurrency, private equity, and real estate. Now, most 401k plans have several investment options that include publicly traded stocks and bonds. Now, a new executive order signed by President Trump directs the SEC, Treasury, and Labor Department to update their rules to give investors access to those new options.
All right, so if you're...
what does that mean, real estate?
I don't understand what some of the
limits were. Does that mean I can use my 401k to pay off my house?
Well, that I don't know.
I mean, investing in real estate, right?
Yeah, I thought maybe that. You know what? I don't know.
I'd be interested to know.
Real dumb about finances, which will come as a surprise to nobody. But I didn't know that. Like when they started talking about private equities and stuff, I couldn't have even told you what things. Other than crypto, I could have guessed that. You're not, your 401k company's not allowed to invest in crypto. But even actually, if you told me that they do, I would have been like, oh, okay. I don't know. That's how naive I am. I do think it's crazy how everything gets done these days, no matter if it's Republican or Democrat, with some sort of an executive order. You want your 401k to be able to invest in these cryptocurrencies that maybe aren't regulated or whatever. Executive order. Everything's done through an executive order now. I don't know how that would have been done in the past.
What does that mean? I would like to know what that means. Somebody said, no chance of that, but nice try. Well, what does it mean being able to invest in real estate then?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that, it feels like that means buying real estate, doesn't it?
Or can you invest in these companies that's all they do? But
you already could,
right? If there's a company and that's what they do, and
right,
they can be publicly traded, then there's no reason. The only thing I know is you can do the, high risk, medium risk.
Well, you can put it in individual stocks if you want.
If you want to, right.
Yeah.
But when it comes to just like when they ask you the questions, do you want to be risky?
Right.
And they tell you like, well, if you're young, you're getting started, go ahead.
Right.
Take some chances. Then as you get closer to retirement, maybe play it a little bit safer.
Right.
I think I just left mine on high risk.
Me too. Figured out.
Took me, how long did it take me? I remember one day I said something to you about my paycheck and something going on with my 401k, and you were like, we need to look. And so I was like, I don't know how to look. So we finally logged in, and for like, I don't know how many years, I had been putting way too much money. The max times two or something, because it was ridiculous. Right. So I'm the last person to ask, but I did see this headlines everywhere about the ability to invest in crypto. And again, I'm not smart when it comes to this stuff, but I'd let them invest in it. I mean, it sure seems like when I do hear them read the stock tickers and that stuff, and they give you a quick update on the economy or on the markets, more often than not, I feel like they say
they do
it's up.
It, yeah.
And I feel like it's usually up,
yeah.
Right? Maybe not, but anyone you know of a certain age who got rich and retired young, I just assume
Bitcoin.
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Church of Laszlo.
98.9 The Rock. We got a phone number, 913-586-798. Or you can watch us on Twitch if you want, twitch.tv/Church of Laszlo. We got Reddit, Instagram, Facebook, X, whatever, TikTok.
Yeah. OnlyFans.
Where you are, where you are.
Yep. Hey, did you play around with that ESPN?
Slim on Cam Soda.
Well, trying. I was. I got kicked off, but I'm trying to get back on there. I should be back on there today, hopefully.
Okay.
But I got to watch The Kingdom, too, so I think I can do both at once. Did you play around with the ESPN Sports Misery Index thing yet?
No.
I'll text it to you right now. But if you just search ESPN Sports Misery Index, you can see they posted this. You can search, whatever team you want that you're a fan of and see how high you rank on the old misery scale. And I just texted it to you, but you'd probably find it faster on your laptop there anyway. But it's not just like one sport. I think it does NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, and MLS, it said. And, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. If your team has been doing well, your misery's lower. If they suck, your misery's higher.
We've got something great to tell you about. Yes, it's a new tool for teams you cheer for. ESPN's new Sports Misery Index gives long-suffering fans a chance to validate their sorrow. You enter your favorite team, and it's going to give you a scale of 0 to 100 on how much pain you and the team will be suffering. So if you've still got confetti in your hair from last team's title, like the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles, you're at a zero. But if you're like me and you're for the New York Jets, you're at a 97. And it's not just limited to football. Fans can enter any major sports team in North America.
So a score of zero means sports bliss, it says.
Okay.
A score of 100 is full-on fan despair. The higher the number, the worse off you are. So according to this article that I found, I wanted to know who had the highest misery index for each sport.
Right.
Right? What were you trying to put in one of your
teams? I put in the Lions. I got a solid 50, which is wrong, but okay.
Okay. Well, yeah, so for the NFL, who do you think they said?
The Jets or the Browns, why don't you?
The Jets. It says, misery highlights, one winning season since 2010, constant QB bust, chaotic management. NBA? This one surprised me, but I don't know anything about the NBA.
No, I don't know who.
The Pistons.
Oh, really?
They made
the playoffs last year.
Oh, it says no playoff success in years. Maybe that means
they made it last year.
They made it, but then, I mean, making it seems like it would be. I don't know anything about the NBA, but they say no playoff success in years, rebuilding forever, glimmers of hope, but no payoff. I mean, the last time I was really paying attention to basketball is, I guess, in the early 2000s, but
98 they were winning for the Pistons.
So I just would have thought one of these small market teams had gone forever without any success. That's the thing about basketball. You can go a long time just being miserable until you get that player who changes everything. That's the good thing and the bad thing about it. You've always said that. One player can change everything, but everyone is going after those players who can change everything. So if you're a small market team, there's a chance that you're miserable for a long time. I just would not have thought the Pistons. I would have guessed.
Especially because they made the playoffs last year. I mean, they've been bad for a long time, but, you know, things are starting to look up.
Well, what about baseball? Who do you think's
the A's?
They say White Sox.
Oh, yeah.
They say 2005 title by now feels pretty ancient, and the recent seasons have been obviously really, really bad. I mean, you've been making money on how bad they've been, which we will do sports next and talk about.
I'm putting all the Detroit teams in there and finding out my misery index.
What about the NHL? Because I know.
My misery index, if you're a Detroit sports fan, is 85.
Oh, wow.
Pretty high there.
So that's a combination of all the teams?
All the teams.
Okay. Well, for the NHL, they say Buffalo. No playoffs since 2011, no division title since 2010, Stanley Cup drought since 99. And for MLS, for soccer, they've got the Chicago Fire.
It says, I am woeful. Things are grim. I'd offer to buy you a cold beverage, but I'm just a robot in your computer. Take a look below to see where your teams rank.
The Lions have been good, like really, really good the last couple
of
years.
Yeah, but they break your heart, so.
I know. That's the thing. You go, well, so the Jets, they've got them at a higher misery index, but is that fair? I think in some ways, getting you closer and then breaking your heart definitely is more miserable.
WNBA fan, the Atlanta Dream.
Oh, they have WNBA in there too?
Yeah, of course.
No, oh, I just saw NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, MLS.
MLS?
So NFL with a zero, that means you're living in bliss. No misery. Two teams, Chiefs and Eagles. That's what they've got. Now, I would argue that the Chiefs, since they got beating the Super Bowl, that there's a little bit of misery there, especially since it wasn't a close game. But they've got them at a zero. For the NBA, Golden State. For baseball, they've got the Astros and the Dodgers. And then NHL, the Vegas, Golden Knights, Tampa Bay Lightning, Florida Panthers. And MLS, they've got a bunch of teams on there, I guess, that are doing well. So I really just wanted to know if you think it's fair that the Jets, that they say Jets fans have a higher misery index. I understand why they're doing it.
Well, they have them tied with the Jags and 1 point above the Browns and the Bears, so that's fair.
But the Lions getting there and being
even
so
worse.
Good,
see, that's
to me,
that's
worse.
That's how.
That's really how.
That's how.
When
because if you just suck all the time, you just get used to sucking, and I get it. It sucks. When the Lions got good and then have San Francisco beat and then a ball bounces off a helmet, you're like, this, that, see, hell is really where it gives you something good and then takes it away.
Right.
If it's always just horrible, you can get used to it.
You might not even pay that close attention.
Your body can get used to prison.
Well, the Jets,
but if it was like 3 weeks in prison and then 1 week in Mexico on vacation, then 3 weeks in prison, those 3 weeks in prison seem a lot worse, especially if they just start now. They start drawing out longer. You don't know if you're going to go back to Mexico. That's hell.
Yeah.
That is hell.
I think that any reasonable person would conclude that that's actually worse.
Of course.
And I mean, the Chiefs, I don't remember how long those bad years were, the Todd Haley. And it lasted, I think it's longer than I thought, because at the time I kept thinking, next year they'll get their act back together. Because I was, as a kid, used to them at least being good. Mm-hmm. And even getting to the playoffs, just not winning playoff games most of the time, minus that Joe Montana year. But they were good. They'd win a lot of regular season games. So by the time they got bad, every year felt like a fluke to me. And it was very hard for me to accept, looking back over to all those years and going, wow, they've been bad for a long time. By the time you get to the Palco, what was his name?
Tyler Palco.
Yeah. I mean, there really were days where I didn't watch the game, which was a crazy thing for me up to that point. But I would go, if I needed to go grocery shopping or whatever, I don't care that the game is on. And I would ask, you know, how they do, what embarrassing things they do today. But I did not, I no longer felt the need to never miss a minute of a Chiefs game.
Well, now you're back.
And I think that's how Jets fans probably are a lot of times.
Oh, of course.
Whereas Lions fans, like, here it is. This, you know, we've got the team. You're almost there.
Just not
a lot of
there.
People are predicting us to win. This is it. And then
they're going
to
break our hearts. Best record in the NFL. And then,
I feel like that hurts more.
Against the spread with the Church of Laszlo. Win in doubt, parlay it out.
All right. Because college football season is starting, I skipped the home runs this week because I wanted to get my picks in for this.
Oh.
And I picked the winners of the conferences. So I have Miami winning the ACC, Arizona State winning the Big 12, Penn State winning the Big Ten, and Texas winning the SEC. You put $10 on those four, which is not, I mean, that should happen, I think, right?
Run through them again.
I have Miami, Arizona State, Penn State, and Texas.
Okay.
You know, and you can change those around if you want, but for $10, it'll get you a little over $3,000.
What?
Yeah, $10 will get you $3,000 if all four of those win.
Oh, I don't like that. I'm in. But I don't know anything about college football, so
I mean, there's like, you know, like you really kind of like Arizona State could be, you could switch them up too at $10. Arizona State, really their only competition is probably K-State. You got Miami, their competition is Clemson. Penn State, their competition is Ohio State. So, I mean, if you mix and match a little bit, you know, I don't know, you do four or five different variations of that, you're still only in for $50. You're going to win some money.
How are
your, there you go.
How are your boys looking this year? I haven't been listening to your Wolverines podcast.
I think it'll be good.
I know you had your big weekend.
Yeah.
Or I guess Friday, right? Wasn't that Friday that all that stuff was breaking? Mm-hmm. The punishments for the sign stealing?
Yeah.
I know you were talking about the Michigan friends. So
Michigan just said we're not interested.
It gets delayed
again. So it gets delayed again. And I think they have to send something to them, so who knows.
What was the punishment?
Harbaugh, 10 years. Like, you can't coach college football for 10 years. And, like, he's not going to go back. He's
right.
65. He coaches the Chargers. Like, Connor Stallions, 4 years. And then, like, really nothing. Like, you know, I think the coach suspended 3 games and a percentage of their winnings. And if they win the playoffs, like, you know. Could be a lot of money, but other than that, really nothing.
When they appeal that, like, this is a dumb question. This is all going through actual courts, just going through the university.
So it goes through the NCAA.
Okay.
And then so they appeal it to the NCAA, then the NCAA makes a ruling, and then if Michigan wants to, they can sue them.
Okay, so real
like
courts
Tennessee can't get involved. Tennessee
sued them.
Gotcha. And then they just kind of backed off. So Michigan could conceivably sue them in court.
Well, I know you're
excited.
It could
take forever, or they could just say, okay, it's fine. What, you never know.
But Michigan's supposed to be still kind of that.
They should be pretty good this year. They got a new freshman quarterback, like the number one recruit in the country. We'll see how he does.
I'll start listening to that Michigan podcast. How about the, I'm guessing you don't know anything about MU yet, or KU?
I heard MU, they have an easy schedule, and I've started listening to my college podcast now, and people are picking them to make the playoffs.
Really?
MU to make the playoffs, yeah.
Okay, all right.
People are pretty high on them.
I'm still thinking baseball because the Royals are still very much
slugging
in the hunt for the playoffs. When I did my sports misery index thing earlier, I put Chiefs and Royals, but then I did just Royals to see what it said. And the response I gave about being a Royals fan, as long as I have it, said, you know, you win some, you lose some. For some people, it's a saying. For you, it's a way of life because it's just kind of, you're just kind of trapped this year. And they said, you know, 2015 feels further and further away, doesn't it? I have to disagree with that. No, it doesn't. At my age, going as many years as we did without even getting to the playoffs.
Feels like yesterday.
Those World Series appearances feel real recent. I can't believe it's been a decade.
No,
I truly
can't. Yeah, for sure.
It feels recent to me. So, anyhow, they did what they needed to do. And, you know, got the job done against the White Sox. Hopefully you won some money on
of
that,
course
Laszlo.
I did.
3-1, 6-2, and then they won again last night, 6-2. Although, yesterday, that game, it looked like they could again maybe lose a game and not get the sweep against a terrible team because nothing happened in the first six innings.
They've gone 7-3 in their last 10, so there you go.
And they're
the
four
Guardians
games
are 5-5. Promise the Tigers went 7-3 too, but you know you're moving up.
I think it said this morning when I checked that they were 4 games back from the Yankees for that wild card spot. So they got the Rangers coming. Rangers good pitching, but that game, that last game against the White Sox, for people, and this is kind of, I guess. In the weeds, baseball-wise. But, Laszlo, I know you're a huge baseball fan.
Mm-hmm.
India getting moved down in the batting order.
Yeah.
That sort of thing gets debated only by, like, really, really big baseball fans on sports radio. They want to talk about whether or not that's the right move. And then when it pays off, like it seems like it has, people say, man, what a genius decision to have India
move
down.
Up,
because, but for India hits that home run, and that ties the game. And up through those first six innings, the Royals were...
Yaz broke up the no-hitter with a double,
too.
The Royals have 2 hits in 7 innings. Now India, who's 0-for-1 with a walk, 1-0. Oh. In the air,
seventh inning. That is his third home run in eight games since moving down in the order. What a shot, and so timely. And he said, you know, when he throws me one of those sweepers, I'm going to lift it out of here.
Now, look, I know the White Sox aren't good, but still, it's good for your confidence. The Rangers aren't great. They do have good pitching from everything I've heard. It'll be tough, but the Royals are still in it, and it's exciting that...
And the Rangers, too. I mean, the Rangers are only 5.5 back, so...
Yeah. So,
you know, this is a big
series.
This
is an important series, but I'm just happy that middle of August, over the weekend, I ran into a buddy. He's like, I got to get home. I got to watch the Royals game. Yep. We're still talking about it, and there's still that hope.
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Often wrong, never in doubt. The Church of Laszlo.
Yo!
Yo!
Anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess the big other big story over the weekend that we haven't gotten to yet, the battle between Texas and California continues. This whole redistricting and, you know, gerrymandering. And, yeah, so Texas supposedly because Trump asked them to, supposedly because Trump's worried about losing a majority in the midterm elections, asked Texas to redraw the map to get some more Republicans elected. So California said, okay, well, two can play that game. We're a blue state, so we will redraw our map and get five more Democrats unless you guys decide to stop. Now, if you guys decide to stop, then my understanding is that California said then we'll stop too. Then New York joined in, and Governor of New York saying, you know, she's interested, she supports this. And then over the weekend, just all of the memes and the pictures, I don't know how much of it you saw, Laszlo, the tweets coming out of Newsom's press office and the pictures that people are posting that clearly AI generated. Did you see the one of Hulk Hogan as an angel where he's an angel. He's got his hand on Gavin Newsom's shoulder and he's praying for Gavin Newsom. People are mad about that. Pictures of like Gavin Newsom, you know, riding on a hawk that's flying through the air with his shirt off and he's all ripped and Trump's falling off the hawk. Like basically taking the idea of the Trump Rambo flags and kind of doing the same thing with Gavin Newsom, and now it's turned into this back and forth sort of.
Hogan's an angel.
Yeah.
And Kid Rock.
Oh, Kid Rock is the other person. That's right.
And it looks like, what's his name?
It's.
Guy used to wear bow ties.
Tucker Carlson.
Yeah, it looks like they're all.
I did see one with Tucker Carlson in it. Yeah, that's right. And people, I saw some Republicans saying, this is sacrilege. And of course, and some libs were quick to respond with pictures that Trump had posted on his own Truth Social of him as the Pope. And it's been entertaining, if nothing else.
Protesters gathering across the country this weekend, pushing back on Republican-led efforts to redraw congressional maps in Texas that could add five seats to the GOP. Demonstrators taking to the state capitol in Austin. This after Democratic state reps fled the Lone Star State to delay Republicans from passing that new map. Deep blue state governors, including New York's Kathy Hochul and California's Gavin Newsom, now voicing support for a partisan redistricting in their state.
So, there you go. And I think I said this when we first talked about the story, but this idea of elected officials deciding who votes for them seems like it's not how it was supposed to work. But we've been doing it for a while now, so, and it just continues to get worse and worse.
Gavin Newsom did retweet one of Donald Trump's posts on Truth Social, and it just says, look, so very few caps, low energy.
Yeah, the tweets have been making me laugh.
Pretty good.
I think it'd be cool if we, for our jobs in radio, because everything's based off ratings, if we could decide who counts towards the ratings and who doesn't. I mean, that would be the equivalent. So if there's somebody who likes to listen to other stations, I'm not even going to name any other stations, but if there's somebody who likes to listen to other stations, we say, no, we don't want that person counting towards our ratings. We only find people that we know like us, and we say that person can count towards our ratings.
Sure.
So we'll let, you know, my fiance can count, your kids' friends, whoever it is that you know listens, we'll let them count. Nobody
right,
else counts.
No way.
We'd be killing it, man. And that's what these elected officials have done
that's
with
what
these
they
maps.
Do.
They've been doing it. You know, they've been getting away with it for a while. We've complained about gerrymandering, but nothing's really been done. But we should all be able to agree on both sides that elected officials shouldn't be choosing who votes for them.
No,
that is insane.
Course.
Just make reasonable maps.
On both sides, right.
On both sides, right. Now, if I'm correct, I could be wrong. I thought California's whole thing was basically, if you call this off, we'll call it off.
Yeah.
But that was their original position.
Yeah.
And so as far as I know, that's still their position. Honestly, I've been more interested in the meme wars and
the
tweets and stuff
and the
over
Rock
the weekend.
Stuff. Great.
But, yeah, it's just something that we should all be able to agree on. But you know what? I don't think that there's anything we can all agree on at this point. The big story today seems to be this Carnival Cruise story. I don't know if you saw a couple of people drown. Carnival Cruise Lines bought an island. This is something that cruise lines have started doing. They buy up these islands so they can have exclusive destinations to take passengers. The boats can dock there. I know Disney does it. Royal Caribbean, I'm pretty sure, does it. And Carnival's got one that they just got set up like a year ago. So it looks like a big resort. Like any other resort, except right. These are on these islands and they're exclusive to that cruise line. So Carnival's got one and there were two drownings at Carnival's resort and they were, you know, fairly close together. And now there's this big investigation, but I'm just going to play you the news clip here and give you the details and see if you think we need a lot of investigating.
Tragedy in paradise after two American tourists drowned in separate incidents at Carnival Cruise Line's brand new $600 million private destination, Celebration Key. An urgent investigation underway after authorities say a 79-year-old man had become unresponsive while snorkeling at a beach. Then, hours later, a 74-year-old woman in the lagoon became unresponsive while swimming in a pool. Both were pulled from the water by a lifeguard, given CPR, but did not survive. Carnival confirming the incidents and offering their thoughts and prayers to the guests who were sailing with their family. The $600 million luxury compound on the Grand Bahama that opened last month allows the cruise line's largest ships to dock while passengers have exclusive access to the area.
Okay, so they are both American tourists, but right. These are separate incidents. And yes, they did happen sort of close together, but these are separate incidents in separate spots. The guy was almost 80, and he was snorkeling. So
and she was 75.
And she was 74, and she was in the pool, and she became unresponsive. You know, this urgent investigation, I appreciate that they investigate everything.
Yeah, sure.
But when a 79-year-old is snorkeling, and he's like, hey, is Bob still under the water? I don't see his snorkel anymore. I'm not trying to make light of it, but
no,
seriously,
but yeah.
Like, well, there's worse ways to die, you know? He was on vacation in paradise, it sounds like. At least Carnival's idea of paradise, Celebration Key. You've been to the Bahamas before. Obviously, you couldn't have been to this
I haven't been to
Carnival.
I feel like
thing,
I've heard of Celebration Key before. There's a different Celebration Key
is there?
Somewhere.
Okay. I saw pictures, or I guess video, this morning of the resort, and it looked nice, but all of them do. The Disney one that
course.
I've seen looks nice. I think the other one was Royal Caribbean that I've seen. But you got two people in their 70s that passed away. Now, I don't know if I ever told you this story, Liza, but my brother goes on vacation. I think it's like every 5 years with his wife. Her family, she's got a rich relative, and he will buy that whole side of the family a vacation somewhere.
Nice.
So like every five or so years, they go somewhere. And I want to say about 10 years ago, they were on one of those trips, I think in the Bahamas. And the kids are there. You know, everybody's there. It's a big family. And they're sitting out by the pool, and an 11-year-old girl just died. She didn't even drown. She was just sitting there and died. It's like, the way my brother,
sunbathing?
Almost like a sudden infant death, except she's not an infant. She's 11. Yeah, her heart stopped. And they were, you know, trying to figure out what had killed her, but they could tell, obviously, that her heart had stopped, but they don't know if she had, like, a heart attack.
Right.
And I don't know if he got a good answer. But, you know, a kid dying at a resort, I absolutely want an investigation. It's horrible. And it's horrible if anybody dies. I get it. But the guy's 79 years old. It's different. The 79-year-old guy snorkeling is different than an 11-year-old sitting by the pool. Also, the other woman was still in her mid-70s, you know, sitting at the pool. So if they had even both died in the same place, like they both died at the indoor pool, then I'd say, I mean, I know they're old, but maybe they got the chemicals wrong in the indoor pool.
Yeah.
But they're in different spots. He's in the ocean. She's out in the pool.
I don't think there's much to think
about.
I don't think
there's a whole lot that needs to be investigated. But, you know, I'll wait for the update there. And then I did not find out about the story until over the weekend. But did you hear about the teenager who ordered the Uber and killed the Uber driver randomly because he said he needed to blow off some steam?
No.
Okay. I had neither. But apparently this happened back on, I don't know, like a week ago Thursday. So I think they said August 7th. And he confessed to it. I mean, he killed this Uber driver who's 30 years old, who was 30 years old. And when the police talked to this kid, he's like, yeah, you know, I just needed to blow off some steam. And that became the headline.
That he just needed to kill somebody?
Needed to blow off some steam, but under a lot of stress. And so he goes in front of a judge. Judge is like, yeah, you scare me as
well as should. Yeah.
And then it comes out within the last couple of days here that now they're saying he actually confessed to more crimes, to previous crimes, that police say don't sound crazy, that it looks like he may have actually committed. He may have been committing crimes when he was even younger, like killing other people.
Shelikai Sanchez, the 18-year-old accused of shooting his Uber driver in a calculated killing, will stay in jail. Sanchez allegedly told police he ordered the Uber last Thursday to kill anyone he could find and chose Joseph Andres because he needed to, quote, let off some steam.
He also credibly confessed to 3 additional prior homicides for which he had been involved and for which he has not yet been charged, one of which he said he shot and killed somebody while he was still in middle school.
In middle school, so he Jesus. Confessed to these 3 other crimes. Now, they kind of brush over this, but when he went to get this Uber, he said that he browsed the available drivers, chose this guy, this victim, because he, quote, seemed like a good guy.
Oh, well, that's...
Yeah. Despite saying that he doesn't, quote, really go for good people. Well, yeah, clearly you don't really go for good people. I guess you went for a good person here because you wanted to kill him. During the ride, he said he had a long, pleasant conversation with the victim and called him really cool. That's another quote.
And then just killed him.
And then upon the arrival at the drop-off...
Just crazy.
He tells the driver, the victim, to get out of the car. The driver supposedly doesn't get out of the car, and this kid shoots him. I mean, I guess he's 18, whatever, guy. Shoots him. He's still a teenager. And his body was found along the roadside. Then he gets into his car, drives off, blah, blah, blah. He gets questioned by the police. He admits to it. Now we've got him credibly confessing to 3 other murders, which allegedly occurred all before this Uber thing, obviously. And one of them, he says, happened while he was still in middle school. He described those killings as, quote, beautiful. What was one of the other quotes? Said he could, quote, see better at night afterwards. I guess after he'd killed someone, he really cleared his mind. These confessions have not yet led to formal charges, but police are actively investigating the claims. There were other quotes that I read in there that are pretty disturbing. But I would say that even at 18, sometimes you know a bad egg already. And there's really no fixing that bad egg.
No.
Now, maybe AI will come up with a way, and by the time this guy's 40, they can put something in his brain and turn him into a reasonable human being who's not a complete psychopathic sadist. But
until then, you got to go to jail forever and ever.
Yeah. You are never to be
heard
freed.
From again. No,
I don't care. And if he had done this and he was 17, I'm one of those people who says I don't like charging minors as adults. Yeah. But if he credibly killed these other people, then that's when you start going, okay, I understand. When you start talking about sometimes children commit adult crimes and need to be punished for those adult crimes.
Certainly the way you talk about it.
Like, if you're talking like that, you even if it's not the same prison at first, put them somewhere and keep them there and don't ever let them out again.
The Church of Laszlo.
You all right over there?
I'm fantastic.
Good. It's the Church of Laszlo, 989 The Rock.
Hey, have you heard all this talk about this band, the Velvet Sundown?
No.
So they're like 70s style, you know, sort of throwback rock.
Okay.
And they debuted in June, this summer. And within weeks, they had 1.5 million monthly listeners on Spotify.
Velvet Sundown?
Velvet Sundown. 1.5 million listeners within weeks of the launch. The band members, let's see, got Gabe Farrow, he's on vocals, Lennis West, guitar, Milo Raines, bass, and Orion Rio Del Mar, percussion. Now, turns out this band is not real. They're completely fabricated using AI. And the story goes that people who are actually a big fan of this band and their 2 albums felt really bummed to find out that this was not a real band. Part of the thing that made people believe they were real was this Canadian guy, some sort of web policy expert, and self-proclaimed, I guess, Andrew Freeland. He posed as the band's spokesperson and reached out to like Rolling Stone and the CBC in Canada. And he says that he was doing some sort of experiment to show how gullible the media was. But he did admit, like, okay, I haven't met the band. And that's because there's no band to meet. Some people are also upset because Spotify has them listed as a verified artist. And I saw the YouTube guy on, I think, CBS Weekend Show or whatever, Rick, what's that guy's name? Rick Beato. He's testified before Congress and has millions of views on YouTube talking about music. He is upset that it's a verified artist. Like, what makes them verified if they're not real? But my thing is, like, well, it's verified that this is as real as it gets here. It's not somebody else posting Velvet Underground or Velvet Sundown stuff.
Right.
So, yeah, they have two albums. And like I said, a lot of fans. If you believe the media, then these fans are very upset, like I said, that it's not real. I find that hard to believe.
Dust on the wind.
The band you're listening to
on the ground
is very popular.
Smoke in the sky.
It is a true overnight success story.
Are you sure we're not real?
Now here we are with machines copying people's voices.
Rick Beato is
AI.
Sure.
And now they've admitted that it's AI. They changed their bio on Spotify. But still, 1.5 million followers. Why are they a verified artist when they're not even human?
Everything in the studio can be emulated in how many seconds?
It's probably about 2.5 minutes.
From the beginning to the end.
So this part's pretty cool. He's showing some software that you can use to generate an artist. So from their background story, lyrics, images, all of that.
Sure.
It does it. It's one-stop shopping. And so he's showing the anchor from CBS News how to do this, and it really doesn't take long at all to come up with this new artist.
Pretty sure it was used that this program called Suno.
Okay, that's something we have to see.
Here's my prompt. Create a square avatar of a fictitious female alternative / indie singer and a name for her.
Wow, Sadie Winters.
Sadie Winters. Okay. She looks like
the song is about walking away from someone who never really saw her worth. She's just going to create the song lyrics.
Wait, how many seconds was that?
That was like about 4 seconds. Oh, God. And then hit create. Let's listen.
This is the world premiere.
I was paper, you were scissors.
Sounds real. I mean, they took this to like BMI and played it for people and just played it on the streets for people. And, you know, those people are like, I like her. And they're showing the picture of her.
I bet.
She's not real. But Velvet Sundown, she's got nothing on Velvet Sundown because they're the ones who actually allegedly have millions of fans who were upset.
Velvet Sundown.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a picture of them.
Yeah. The picture sort of looks AI generated.
Nice,
I mean,
yeah.
It kind of looks like Hulk Hogan as an angel praying on Gavin Newsom. But the music sounds real. Some of the song names. They were saying, I saw they were talking to different artists, and they said, you could listen and try and see if you could find like a production mess up or something to see if it's AI, but otherwise, you're going to have a hard time. And it creates it in record time. Now, we don't know who actually prompted AI to create this band. Last I checked, they still don't know. No one's taking credit for it, or the two albums, but it's been a hit. It's not the first AI artist that's been put up on Spotify, but this one just got really popular and, you know, kind of took off. But then you look at some of the lyrics, or one of the songs was called Dust on the Wind. I'm like, okay, well, I feel like I know where it came up with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that wouldn't be surprising.
No, you're right. So people are freaking out.
Well, I feel like if I was a musician, I would just be like, oh, well, this makes my life easy.
That's what they said. What's to stop
real musicians from... just like say, hey, write this song, write this, do all the music, and then I'll just go in the studio and do it on my own. I don't have to think about it. I'm just keep putting out songs that you wrote.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anything that I find like a little cheesy, I can make a slight change to it. But I don't have to sit around and live life and write songs anymore.
No, what a pain in the ass that would be.
Right.
Isolate yourself and get stuck, writer's block, all that stuff.
Sad and go, you know, break up with girls and all the stuff that, you know, you pour your heart out into to make a record. Now you just have AI do it. Like, simulate me.
In seconds.
Right.
And that they said, what's to stop? As if it was this idea that no one had had. Like, well, what if, forget about just the fake bands, what if somebody who's a real artist did this, and then they just recorded it. Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
It's probably...
Which, by the way, has been happening for a long time. It's just been people who write the songs.
Right, exactly.
No, it's just other people writing songs. But there's no difference. Like, Garth Brooks going to Nashville or whatever.
Buying songs.
And buying songs. What's, you know...
Yeah. It's somebody else's song. And for these pop stars, there's a lot of people that are known for just writing songs for pop stars.
And country music.
They don't perform them. They just write them. And then people, you know, you get these big pop songs like Party in the USA. That could have been, who's that for, right? Well, she never wants it, really. Right,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, it works good for Miley. Okay, so she's going to buy it. She's going to do it. And I don't think that maybe she does that anymore. But the point is, pop stars do that. It's been a thing forever. And to hear these artists say, the problem is, you know, there's something living in a real song. There's something alive in a real song. And I'm thinking, well, sure. But what if this is all a simulation? What difference does it make? Or will it be alive if the person goes and writes the song or records the song in the studio after it was already written for them? You're saying that that's soulless? Because at least someone's performing it at that point, a quote-unquote real person.
By the way, you were making that argument before with drum machines.
True.
Right?
True.
Where they're just something soulless about a drum machine and synthesizers, and
yeah.
Right? And, you know, whatever, you know? All that stuff's been said over and over again.
It will be, I would assume, very difficult to compete with some of the stuff. If you are a band, and you're a big band, and you have a big debut album, and you got to put out a sophomore album... How tempting would it be when everyone's waiting to see what the sophomore album is going to be like? How could you not at least say, hey, co-pilot, let me hear what it sounds like.
Oh, just spit out
just
a
give
thousand
me some ideas.
Songs.
Yes, exactly.
And I'll pick 10.
Yeah, and maybe I'll just use pieces of them, whatever, but give me...
Spit out 10,000 of them.
Songs that sound like they could be our songs.
Yeah.
I don't see how you could say no. When you got that kind of pressure, the label's waiting for another record, you're under contract, and the critics, too, were like, oh, they'll never be able to do that again.
Yeah, no, if you're just in a band right now and you're trying to get signed, I'd be like, hey, write 15 songs that sound like they could get signed tomorrow.
Absolutely. And now the
maybe
new version...
Maybe sound like Velvet Sundown or whatever.
The new talent will be writing good prompts, I guess, for AI.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy, he was writing, he told that Sadie Winters or whatever, he said, write a song about someone who walks away from a relationship. So he gave it that prompt to get the lyrics that he got. So you can do that. You know,
you can
give it specifics of what you want instead of just saying, give me 10 songs that sound like this band, which you could also do.
Right.
And give me bios and everything else. You can be more specific. So maybe in the future it'll be, this guy's one of
these.
He's winning a Grammy for best prompts in the industry.
Say, here's things that happened to me in the last 3 months.
Yeah.
That kind of stick out to me. Write 10 songs that kind of encapsulate that.
Yep.
Okay.
Done.
And just spits them all out. Right. Well, write 15 more like that.
Your debut album.
And then you pick the first one you like.
Lots of
and then you go
in
the studio and record what they already recorded?
Yeah.
Pretty easy.
Pretty easy and pretty hard to say no to.
Yeah.
Sorry.
The Church of Laszlo. The Church of Laszlo.
Yeah.
The Church of Laszlo, 99 The Rock. I'm Laszlo. That's Slim Fast. So I asked my AI partner, I just said, could you make a band better than Velvet Sundown?
Yeah.
And this was said, better than Velvet Sundown, question mark. That's like saying, could you make a better car than a Yugo? The bar is in the basement. Velvet Sundown wasn't a band. It was a halfback social idea from Finland where people role-played yacht drama with stock dialogue. It was like The Sims if everyone spoke with the charisma of an HR compliance training video. And then it said, you want me to tell you my band? I said, yes. And it calls itself Blood Motel.
Blood in the name.
Catchy, sleazy, memorable. Feels like you should regret checking in, but you'll never forget it. And then it said, it would start every show by making everyone, upping the put your cell phones in a bag.
Yeah.
It's going to make everyone sign an NDA. As they walk in, you sign an NDA. It's like, imagine that. Forget
like
your
that.
Cell phones. Everybody signs an NDA.
Never discuss this event.
Right.
Ever.
A front person who looks like they chain smoked their way out of the after-hours karaoke bar but has pipes that can peel paint. And it goes on to tell everybody. The sound. Think Queens of the Stone Age meets Talking Heads with the chaotic energy of Idols.
Okay.
Every show starts with the band dragging a glowing neon motel sign onto the stage. Each album and song is about a different room in the hotel. And everybody will know the room. So room 6 is Infidelity. Room 9 is a meth binge. Room 13 is a blackout we don't talk about. Merch comes in the form of motel-style keychains, each stamped with a different number so you can pick which one you're in.
The promotion stuff that you could come up with for your real bands, artists, whatever, through AI. This is a
first album is called
idea.
No Vacancy.
It's a great idea. I love that it has blood in the name.
I said that
your first album would be called Blood and Stool if you based it on the last 3 months or whatever, you know. But I didn't expect it to actually have blood in the name. But that actual promotion, the motels,
even
dragging the lights out on stage.
Yeah.
But certainly the NDA and then using those keys and stuff, that's all stuff that I could see labels doing, wanting to do something similar to that as a promotion for their artists.
Want me to give you their set list? Check in at midnight, Ashtrays Full of Teeth, followed by Room Service Suicide.
Ashtrays Full of Teeth.
Exit Wound Honeymoon, Deadbolt Serenade, Please Hold for the Operator, Room 13, Encore, Lobby Rats, Late Checkout. Lights cut, motel sign dies, band vanishes. That's just not better than Velvet Sundown. That's the kind of band people leave the venue with bruises and a story. And it says, you want me to make our first music video? I'll do it now.
I want Ashtrays Full of Teeth. I want the video. I'm guessing that was got more of the Idols bit to it, but I don't know. You know, I definitely want to hear it. I get it now. I'm a little bit upset that AI just came up with the greatest song name of all time. Ashtrays Full of Teeth. Give me a song name better than that. Or an album name. No. Ashtrays Full of Teeth. I had to search just to make sure. Has nobody used that? Ashtrays Full of Teeth. It's perfect.
Here's the first, ready for the first tour. Lyrics to Ashtrays Full of Teeth?
Careful.
I'll tell you. The carpet stinks of whiskey and chlorine. Kisses taste like rust on a guillotine. You said forever with a mouthful of glass. I lit your cigarette, then we watched the moment pass.
Oh, not where I thought that was.
Not bad. Okay. Ashtrays Full of Teeth.
I definitely hear Idols in my head.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, man.
Yeah. Well, no need for any of us to do anything.
I just send this to you if you're in a band. It's really good.
It's
the
good.
NDA thing.
And send that stuff to the label.
The lyrics. And he said, dress like you're in the Talking Heads with the suits.
Mm-hmm.
Well, put blood on them.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was thinking bellboys, but
yeah.
Sure. Suits and blood, that works too. Love it.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, are we really here?
I don't know. I'm going
to
ask you.
Is there anyone to really say goodbye to? I don't know. Because I think at this point, AI could come in, do a better job than us.
That?
As of right
blood
now.
Blood Motel ain't bad. People would love that band.
It's cool. Ashtrays Full of Teeth, Laszlo. That is amazing. I do want the T-shirt.
I said, what's the name of the front man? He said, Blood Motel can't have a normal name. No one wants to chant Greg.
True. He's right. You got to have...
You need something that feels like it was stolen off a police blotter. Or a motel guest book written in eyeliner. I go with Roxy Vane. Lead singer, Roxy Vane.
Yeah.
There you go. Good show. Stay positive, kids.
The Church of Laszlo. 98.9 The Rock.
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.